Now we read together in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 15. Let's return there now and let's look at the older brother. Verse 28, when he hears about his younger brother's return and the welcome he's received from his father and the celebration at his return, it says, verse 28, the older brother became angry and he refused to go in to join the celebration. Now we're studying the parable of the prodigal son for several weeks and looking at it in detail. It's probably the best known of the parables and it is full of rich, rich teaching. Last Sunday morning we looked at the lostness of the younger brother. But I promised to you that today we would focus on the older brother. And the older brother is actually a much more challenging figure for the church. He's a much more challenging figure than the younger brother because often we find in the church the temptation to be like the older brother. So given that I told you we'd be looking at the older brother, it's good that you came this morning because God's word, I think, will challenge us. As I was studying this yesterday and finishing off the sermon yesterday, I actually realised I had so much material about the older brother, I've actually divided it into two messages. So we'll be back on the older brother next week as well. There's just so much to say about this older brother. Now remember that this parable, although it's usually the younger brother that is focused on, the point of the parable actually is about the older brother. You've got the Pharisees at the beginning of the chapter criticizing Jesus for receiving the tax collectors and the sinners. And so Jesus tells a parable to the Pharisees as though to say, right, so the younger brother went away and misbehaved and he came back, he got this great welcome, and then the older brother wasn't happy. What's the older brother going to do? And what are you Pharisees going to do, is what Jesus is saying. So the point of the parable is about the reaction and response of the older brother. And it's important to keep that in mind. Now let's get something straight, first of all. In the parable, the father figure represents God. I think that's pretty clear. The father figure represents God. Now because of that, the father is right. He's God. He's representing God. So he's right. Whatever the father does in the parable is right, because God is right. So if the younger brother or the older brother are going to get along with the father, they've got to like what he does. And the parable ends with the older brother not liking what the father does. And it's the same with us. If we're going to get along with God, to put it very basically, if we're going to have a good relationship with God as a father, we're going to have to like what he does. We're going to have to like what God does. So the older brother in the parable doesn't like what the father does. Who's got to change? Is it the father or is it the older brother? And the answer is, of course, it's the older brother. So if we here this morning don't like what God does, who's got to change? Has God got to become like us? Or have we got to become like God? Obviously, we've got to change. So if we feel challenged this morning from this parable, and as we look at the older brother, if we're challenged, and if we think, well, actually, I can see a bit of myself here. I can see that God is showing me something of myself that isn't so nice or isn't so attractive. Who's got to change? Is it God? Has God got to become like us? No, it's not. We've got to change. There's a challenge in this parable, and it's a challenge that Jesus issued to the Pharisees. Look, the older brother, he doesn't like what the father's doing. You Pharisees, you don't like what God's doing. You've got to change. If we don't like what the father's like in this parable, if we don't like what God's doing, we've got to change. So let's hear I want to talk about two things this morning. I want to talk about justice, and I want to talk about duty. Justice and duty. Next week we'll talk about standards and pride. But justice and duty. Justice. The older brother, well, in his own eyes, he's a very just person. He's a fair person. Justice is important to the older brother. When the father is being just in the older brother's eyes, when he's being fair, the older brother gets on fine with his dad. For example, if one of the servants misbehaves and the father dismisses him from service, the older brother's very happy with his dad because he's about justice and fairness, and the servant should be dismissed. Well done, dad. He's happy. He likes justice. He likes fairness. He approves when people get their comeuppance. And we can understand that, because we don't like people to get away with doing wrong either, do we? We're very happy when people who deserve it are brought down a peg by God. We like that. We like that. We approve of God's law. We approve of what is right. We approve of Moses. We like Moses. We like Solomon. We like the books that are about right and wrong and justice. We like the prophets who are speaking about justice in society. We like things to be right. We can understand this older brother and his emphasis on justice. This week, the BBC ran a feature about the benefits system. And they started by interviewing a man who was a trained engineer, and he was trying to find a job, and he couldn't find a job. And so he was on benefits, and his benefits amounted in total to £91 a week. So this man was very honest. He said he could manage just about to survive on £91 a week. But he was trying hard to get a job, and he couldn't. He wanted to get away from benefits and to be dependent on his own earnings, but he couldn't. And then he switched to interviewing shoppers in this shopping mall. After seeing this man struggling to make ends meet, trying to get a job to get out of the situation of being on benefits, they then went and interviewed a pile of shoppers. So what do you think about the proposed reforms to the benefit system, the shoppers were asked. And one after the other, they said, oh, you know, it's terrible, people being on benefits, you know. They should get out of their beds in the morning and get on their bikes and find a job. We were hearing this sort of thing from the shoppers. They shouldn't get something for nothing. And time after time, that's what people were saying. And yet we just heard from a guy who was on this very small level of benefit, trying to get away from it. But the shoppers are saying, no, it's terrible. There's all these spongers in society and so on. And I guess many people were watching their tellies and saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. We want justice. It's terrible that people are on benefits and not getting jobs and not trying to get on and so on. But these shoppers that were interviewed, I reckon, obviously have never had to survive on £91 a week. They've obviously never had to struggle to find work. They've obviously never been on benefits because they've been ill or because of disability, or because they have responsibilities of caring for someone. Because if they had, they wouldn't get on their moral high horse quite so readily and say, you know, it's terrible, people being on benefits, sponging on society and so on. Lazy. The older brother was very much like those shoppers. He wanted justice. He didn't want people to get something for nothing. His younger brother seemed to be getting that in his eyes, and he's very angry. Well, of course, we might want justice too. We want fairness. But is our idea of justice God's idea of justice? That's a key thing to understand. God is just and fair. But is our idea of just and fair the same as God's idea? Don't begin to think today that your idea of just and fair is what God thinks. God does not think the way we think. about justice and about fairness. And what's more, there is more to God than justice. God is a just God, and he is fair and impartial. But there's more to God than justice. Justice isn't God's strongest response. Just like in this situation, the father is a just father, but that's not his strongest response to his son, his younger son. Because if it had been, he wouldn't have welcomed him back. He would have expressed his outrage at the younger son, who was wanting to live on handouts, on the benefits of the father, the inheritance, the sponger, not wanting to have to get out of bed in the morning and earn his bread. He'd have taken that strong stand of justice like the shoppers in the shopping mall did. But instead, mercy triumphed over justice. And he welcomed his son back in a most wonderful way. The older brother isn't happy with that. When the father receives the younger brother back and loads him with benefits, if you like, there's a big argument with the older brother. That's not fair, the older brother says. He thinks he can see clearly, and the father can't. Father, don't you see what you're doing? This, your son, has squandered your property with prostitutes. Squandered your property. And you're wanting to welcome him back and have a party and kill the fattened calf. Where's the justice, Father? Why is he not getting from you what he deserves? Why are you not giving him a roasting? Why are you not just sending him packing? Justice, Father. We can understand the older brother, I think. But whose idea of justice and fairness is the right one? Is it the father's, or is it the older brother's? I think often we come down to the side of the older brother. And if we do, we're showing that we're out of tune with God. We are out of tune with God. And if we're out of tune with God, God's not going to change. We need to change. In the matter of justice, the older brother maybe is a very understandable and attractive figure. But we must remember there is more to the father than justice. There is mercy. There is compassion. And there is forgiveness. And so it is with God. And when we are tempted to be like the older brother and just speak in terms of justice and just speak in terms of fairness, like the shoppers in the shopping mall who are speaking about those terrible people on benefits, what about mercy? What about mercy? What about seeing things standing in the shoes of the younger brother? What about thinking about him? What about mercy? What about the people in Kyle who are really on their uppers, who are really in a hard place, and who are in a bad place morally, spiritually, and economically? We may not stand in their shoes, but God does. God champions the younger brother in this parable. He is longing for him to come home so that he can show him mercy. So must we. So must we. Let's talk about duty as well. Let's talk about duty. The older brother is very dutiful. He remains at home dutifully while the younger brother heads off to the far country for self-indulgent independence. There's no duty in the younger brother at all. The older brother works hard, takes pride in his work. He earns his keep. That's the right way, he says. That's the way it should be. But there's something missing in the older brother's life, and that is a close relationship with his father. There's something wrong in this family. The older brother might criticise the breakdown of the younger brother's relationship with his father, but the older brother hasn't got much of a relationship with his father either. You see, the problem is that all the time things happen in this family that awaken the older brother's disapproval and displeasure. Like, for example, a member of the undeserving poor, as the older brother would call him, a member of the undeserving poor will turn up on the doorstep looking for a handout, hungry, needing something, begging. And the father, because he's compassionate, the father will give him something. He won't send him away empty. And the older brother will say, "There you go, Dad. There you are again, taking care of the spongers. Let them go and work for their living, Dad. Why are you letting them become dependent like this?" Who needs to change? The father or the younger brother? Does the father have to get rid of his compassion? Or does the older brother? Does the older brother have to change, or the father? Does the father have to get rid of his compassion? Or does the older brother have to get some compassion? The older brother is dutiful. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that earns his keep. And you're dutiful. You're dutiful here too. You don't forget what you were taught by your fathers and mothers when you were growing up. You're here today, going to church like you were taught to do. Other people in your class at school fell away from going to church long ago, but you're still here. And you're unhappy that other people you view as having been less dutiful and less consistent and less faithful, seem to get God's handouts and God's blessings when they don't seem to deserve them. Well, you are dutiful and you're not close to the Father. You're not close to God, perhaps. And yet others, they come along and they've not been in church for ages, and they seem to get blessings. They come to God and he shows them mercy. You're not happy. You're dutiful. Where's the reward for your duty? You're not happy with God. Where's the reward for my duty? Well, if you're not happy with God, who needs to change? God or you? You think you should be blessed more. You're the dutiful one. You think duty ought to count more, and you're angry because things maybe aren't going your way in life, and why God should be making things go better for you because you're dutiful. But who are you to tell God how he should be making things going for you? Don't make God in your own image. Don't try and make God someone like you who should see things the way you see them. That's making God in your image. That's idolatry. Remember what happened when Jesus was asked about duty. In John chapter 6, you can read the chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000 and people follow him and say, "Okay, you fed the 5,000, and they're very excited about this and they think this means something great for their nation. And they ask this question of Jesus, "What duties does God require?" they ask. This is John chapter 6 verse 28. "What duties does God require?" What did Jesus say? Did he give a list of duties? Say, "If you do these duties, you'll be in God's good books." No, he didn't. This is what he said. He said, "Duty to God is this: believe in the one he has sent." What do you trust this morning? Do you trust Jesus, the one God has sent? Do you believe in him and trust him in your life? Or do you trust your duties? Jesus was addressing a crowd of people in John 6 who trusted their duties. They were saying, we are dutiful, therefore God must bless us. And yet they were rejecting Jesus. You see what duty counts for in that situation? If you say to God, I'm dutiful, you should be pleased with me, but you reject Jesus, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting His Son. God does not receive us, as the older brother thinks, on the basis of duty. The older brother gets on his high horse in verse 29 and he says, I'm slaving for you, I don't disobey your orders and so on. I'm very dutiful. But you're not close to the Father, older brother. You're a million miles from the Father. You don't see the Father's compassion and mercy and forgiveness at all. You don't appreciate your Father at all, older brother. There's something wrong with you, older brother. There's more than duty. You've got to love the Father. You've got to love Him for who He is and for what He does. And if God the Father sends us His Son Jesus and says, you must trust in Him, then that's what you must do. Not trust in your duties, but trust in Him. You can be ever so dutiful in the church, but be very far from God the Father, just like the older brother. God is calling you to love Him, to love what He does. And if He sends you His Son and says, you need this Savior, you need my Son, you need to trust Him, then don't trust your duties when God is saying, trust in His Son. So the older brother is in trouble, and we'll see more about this next time, hopefully. The older brother is in trouble. He's in big trouble. In fact, he's in worse trouble than the younger brother was. The younger brother was lost, and he knew it. It was clear to him because he was feeding the pigs, and he was hungry. He was lost, and it wasn't hard to see that he was lost. The older brother is lost, and he doesn't see it. It's easy for someone to see they're lost when they're an absolute mess in a pigsty and in the ditch of life. It's easy to see you're lost then, but it's not easy to see you're lost when you're an older brother. It's not like hunger and having to feed pigs is forcing you to see your need of change, because you're just and you're dutiful, and you think that that is what commends you to God. But if God has spoken to you this morning, take the chance. If you're like the older brother in any way, you too are lost. You too need to repent. You're lost in a different way to the younger brother, but you're still lost. You need to say, I'm sorry that I thought I could judge other people's actions, and yet I'm so far from God myself, that I could put my standards above God's standards. Now listen, God is right. God is always right. And if you're not agreeing with Him at any point in your life, it's you who needs to change. And the older brother is lost because he doesn't agree with his father. He doesn't agree with the way his father does things. He doesn't agree with his father's mercy and compassion. What about us? Are we trusting duty? Are we trusting Jesus? Are we putting faith in our own way of seeing things, our own justice, our own fairness, and our keeping to our own standards? Or are we putting faith in what God's Son Jesus Christ has done for us? Remember, there is more than justice. There is more than duty. Remember, there is mercy. Remember that if you're going to come to be close to God, it will be not because of your duty or your justice and fairness. It will be because of God's mercy. Put your trust in that mercy through Jesus Christ. Trust that mercy because you need it too. You need it too. I need it. You need it. Don't trust Judy. Trust Jesus. Amen. Let's just bow for a moment in prayer together. Let's pray. Let's pray. Please help us to see these things clearly, Lord. Help us to read this passage time and time again till we understand the plight of the older brother. Help us to feel his alienation from his father. And help us to feel our own alienation from you, if indeed we are still distant from you. And help us, Lord, to recognize that it is your mercy that will bring us close to you, not our duty. And help us to come to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. We close now in the words of Psalm 119 in the Red Book. Psalm 119. In the first section of the psalm, verses 1 to 8. And the psalm begins by saying, "Blessed are those of blameless ways, who live according to God's word, who keep his laws, who seek him with their whole hearts, who keep themselves from doing wrong, who walk in his perfect ways." And you think, wow, this is very impressive. Blessed are those who are so dutiful. But then verse 5, he says, oh, I wish I was like that. But I'm not. It's not duty that's going to see me right, it's mercy. Oh, that my ways were steadfast, Lord, so that I wouldn't feel shame and disgrace when I think about your commands. We need God's mercy, not trust in duty. Let's stand and sing verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 119.
Blessed are those of blameless ways, who live according to God's word. Blessed are those who keep his law, who
you have a salvation.
grace, the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness that comes from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and remain with each one of you, now and always. Amen. Just remember, as always, there is a cup of tea next door after the service just now. You're welcome to come through for further fellowship. Remember that leaflet in the church plate as well.